Okay, today we're doing a chazara, a review of the 13th drasha, and it starts with the Gemara says, the Gemara Nedarim on Daf Lamed Ches, Am Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yonasan said, Ina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shechina, so Hashem only rests his Shechina, Al Chacham, Gibor, Asher V'Anav. To be a Navi, in other words, Hashem only rests his Shechina on you if you are wise, strong, rich, and humble. Okay, so the Ran says that Hashem, who gave us the Torah, wants us to keep it, so he wants us to have Nevi'im, prophets, who tell us what to do. And of course, these people who get messages from Hashem need to be great people. So they need to have these four midos, which is, again, the wise, strong, rich, and humble, to be the shalom people, the perfect people to give us Hashem's message. So he says that Chacham and Anav, wise and humble, so that includes all, Chacham includes all spiritual traits like wisdom, meaning knowledge of Torah and that kind of thing. And humility includes all kind of proper character traits, midos. But the two that are startling and surprising are that a person should be rich and strong. Why does a person need to be rich and strong to get Nevuah? So, the Rambam explains that it's similar to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Ezu Gibor HaKovish, is it so strong doesn't mean strong. Who's a strong man? A strong man means someone who conquers the Yetzirah. And who is a rich man? HaSameach B'chalko. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So, the Rambam understands when we say rich and strong, we don't mean it literally. We mean rich in the sense that the person is happy with their lot, and strong in the sense that they can conquer their Yetzirah. Okay, so the Ran disagrees with that and says, first of all the proofs that the Gemara brings that this is true, that to get Nevuah, to have the Shechina rest on a person, they have to be Chacham, Gibor, Asher, and Anav. All of them seem to be taking it literally, because when it wants to prove, let's say, that you have to be strong, it says, the proof is, because the Gemara says all of these traits were present by Moshe, and the proof is because Moshe was able to lift heavy beams in the Mishkan. So that sounds like physical strength, and it says that Moshe was wealthy because he got wealthy from making the luchoshnios. It's clearly talking about actual bucks, not being happy with your lot. So the Ran disagrees with the Rambam. Okay. The Ran also says that according to the Rambam, everything should have been, all of that stuff, being happy with your lot and being conquering your Sahara, that should have been all included in Anav, in humility, because in the list in Avodah Zarah of all the great levels that a person must achieve, great heights of spirituality, humility is either the ultimate or the penultimate. It's very high up on the list of good character traits. So if a person is humble, they should have included all these. Anyway, so the Ran disagrees that the Ran understands it means a person actually has to be, a Navi actually has to be rich and strong, physically strong. So why is that? So the Ran explains as follows, because a Navi's main job is to speak to the people. And if you're going to be speaking to the people, it means all of the people. And not everybody respects someone who's wise and humble. Some people only respect money or physical strength. So since Hashem wants the Navi to be respected by everybody, so this way everybody listens to them, they have to be the all-around awesome person. So they have to be spiritually great, and they also have to be physically great, not because there's anything inherently valuable about that, but because it'll get people to listen to them. Like the Gemara says, by a fast day, when the people are fasting and we need someone to talk to the people, to give them mussar, to teach them to be better. So we say, ideally, we get a chacham. If they don't have that, we use someone tall. Why someone tall? Because someone who looks imposing, people listen to them more. So you see, we have this concept of that when you have someone speaking to the people to give them mussar, you need them to be physically great as well, because this way people listen. And the Ran also says that possibly Gibor may also include, this is closer to the Rambam, may include courage. Okay, it's not like the Rambam, but it may include courage, that a Navi must be courageous, because many of the Navim needed to be like that. Like Yirmiyah came to say bad things, so he got in big trouble for saying bad things, meaning that the people didn't like what he said. So you have to be courageous to be a Navi, to tell the people what they may not want to hear. Okay. Ran also points out that while a Navi may speak publicly and a Chacham speaks publicly to teach Torah, the Ran says, ideally, Torah should be taught bitzina, privately. Only if it's necessary to teach the public, then you teach it publicly. Okay, that was kind of an aside. Okay, so now the fact that the Gemara says that the Shekhinah only rests, meaning a person can only be a Navi if they are an Anav and a Chacham, all that stuff, so the Ran says, doesn't mean that there's no exceptions to that rule. There are exceptions. Generally speaking, that's the rule, that to be a Navi, you have to be a Chacham, Asher, Anav, Gibor. But Hashem makes exceptions because sometimes it's necessary, such as Bilam. Bilam was certainly no Anav. He was the opposite of an Anav. And yet, he was a Navi. And also, all the Jews at Kriyas Yamsuf, it says the little babies could see the Shekhinah. And at Har Sinai, everybody in the Jewish people became Nevi'im. So we weren't all at... Not every Jew at Kriyas Yamsuf was at this high level of being a Chacham Asher An, that they're at this level of humility, especially little babies aren't at any level. So the Ran says there are exceptions when there's a need, because there needs to be a Navi, so then we don't have this rule. It means when, on a normal case, to be a Navi, this is what you have to become a Navi, Anav, Chacham, Asher, and Gibor. But if there's a need, then even someone of a lesser standard can become a Navi, like Bilam, because Hashem didn't want the Nachrim to complain that they never had a Navi, and otherwise they would have done Shuva, so he gave them Bilam. And at Har Sinai, we needed to have everybody be Nevi'im, so that this way we all saw Hashem, and we wouldn't have to compare miracles in case somebody comes along later and says, oh, I can do a bigger miracle, I can do a better miracle, and we'd have to compare, is it a bigger miracle than Kriyas Yamsuf or not? Hashem didn't want us to have to do that, so Hashem let us all be prophets. All of us were prophets at Har Sinai, and we all got Nevuah and knew we were speaking to Hashem, and he gave us the Torah and told us Moshe is our prophet. He also says that it says Torah Tzivah on Moshe, Torah's Gematria 611, because we heard 611, Torah Tzivah on Moshe, 611 mitzvahs are given unto us by Hashem. Two of them, as he said, we got on our own, because Hashem spoke to us. And those two, at Har Sinai, that we were given directly, not through Moshe, are the first two of the Aser Sadibros, which are Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, and Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, do not have other gods. So the Ran says the reason why these two specifically were told to us directly is because these two mitzvahs are always forever. There's no, like, there are time a Navi can come down and tell you as a Horah Shah, I know it says to keep Shabbos, this week don't keep Shabbos. If a Navi says to you, never keep Shabbos, you don't listen to him. But if a Navi says, this week don't keep Shabbos, then you can listen to him because a Navi can say something that's just a Horah Shah, that he's just saying, I'm just saying this week we're not supposed to keep Shabbos. That they could do. But these two, that there is a Hashem and that there are no other gods, there's no temporary breaks. A Navi can't say, oh, this week worship Avodah Zarah. No, no. Those two mitzvahs are ones that even there's no time where they could ever be batal even for a minute. So those were given to us directly. Okay, now the Ran goes on to say that he's surprised. The Rambam disagrees with the simple reading of these Gemaras, and the Rambam says, no, we didn't hear Hashem telling us words, because Hashem doesn't have a mouth, and there's no physical words, and there's no way that Hashem, that we all heard Hashem. And it means, the Rambam understands that when it says that the first two Dibros, mipiagvura shamanim, that we heard it from Hashem, it means it's as if we heard it from Hashem. What does that mean, as if we heard it from Hashem? It means just like a Navi is 100% sure and clear and understands it clearly what Hashem was telling him. So too, we understood the first two Dibros so clearly that we were as if we got it in Nevuah. We understood it that clearly, something like that. So the Ran says that he's very surprised at that, and he disagrees because, first of all, what does the Rambam mean because it was so clearly understandable to us? He said, not all of it is so clearly understandable. Like part of the Aser Sadibros, the first two are, do not make idols. So the Gemara Darshans, how do I know that you can't, even if, not just can't make idols, what if you had an idol, you can't keep it? Makes the Drasha. So the Ran says there are plenty of things about the first two Dibros that are not obvious, that you would like know on your own, they could say it's so clear to understand that it's as if Nevuah. And furthermore, there's lots of mitzvahs that are easy to understand. Like, I don't know what chesed, keep it out of aim. So why doesn't it say that we understood that? Binavua. And, or Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why do we understand that? Get that. Mipi HaGvura. So the Ran says that he doesn't agree with the Rambam. And furthermore, Gemara says that the first two Dibros were said in 70 languages, so that if the Goyim, who would understand those, all the Goyim who understand the different languages, whatever language they're from, So those 70 languages, this way they could hear what Hashem was saying. And if they wanted to be mekabel the Torah with us, they could. That's why it was said in 70 languages. He said, according to the Rambam, how does that make any sense? According to the Rambam, they just heard a voice. They didn't hear any words. So what, how do you understand that 70 language thing? Anyway, therefore the Ran says, he's right, that we actually heard Hashem. I assume he means like the Kuzri, that just, even though Hashem doesn't have a mouth, Hashem, there are sound waves in the world, and Hashem can create sound waves to go into our ears. And it was all, and we had Nevuah, of course, as well, that was part of it. So he means that he understands that we heard it directly from Hashem. Kipshuto, we heard the voice. There were 70 languages that came out, and we heard it, and we had Nevuah. Okay. Next. Now we get on to more about Chachamim, rabbis. And Ran says that even Torah Shebaal Peh, we won't listen to a Navi against the Klal of Paskning, like, say, Rava against Abaye. In other words, the rule of Achir Rabim Lahatos, the Torah tells us when deciding how to Paskin something, you go with the majority. So that tells us that if the Chachmiya Gemara decided that we Paskin like Rava, in almost all cases, except for Yal Kagam, except for six, so if a Navi comes and says, well, God told me not that way, we don't listen to the Navi, because the Torah told us, Achir Rabim Mahatos, and that's part of what the Gemara means when it says, Chacham Adif Mi Navi, that a Chacham is greater than a Navi, in that sense, that we follow the majority against even what a Navi says. He then quotes also the famous Gemara in Chagiga, that Divri Chachamim Kedarvonos, that the words of the Chachamim are like cattle prods that keep a person on the straight path, meaning that the Torah's wisdom is a sam tam, it's a perfect elixir. It's the perfect thing. In other words, the wisdom of the Torah takes a person only down the good path, as opposed to, say, other wisdoms may lead you to do destructive things. But the Torah's wisdom only leads a person to good things. And then it goes on to say, Ba'alei Asufos, which means, the Gemara says, means that the Talmidei Chachamim all learn together, and they may all come up with different pshatim. And the Gemara says, they're all Nitnu Miro Echad, they all came from Har Sinai, from Hashem. Okay, so now the Ran has to explain, what does that mean? It says, all the Chachamim will sit around together, some people will say Tame, some people will say Tahar, some people say Mutter, some say Aser, and it's all from Hashem. So the Ran says, what does it mean, it's all from Hashem? It can only be one way or the other. Either it's Mutter or it's Aser. It's Tamei or it's Tahar. One or the other. One is true, one is false. So you mean Hashem said them both? Hashem said something false? How could that be? So he answers that that what it means is that the Torah was given to the Jewish people. And we have a rule, as he mentioned before, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. We follow the majority, even if a Navi tells us it's wrong. We follow the majority. So that means, if you're following the majority, that doesn't mean you're right. It just means you followed the majority. The majority opinion may be A. The reality may be B. But the Torah told us, I don't care what the reality is, Achrei Rabim Lahatos, you follow the majority. So that means, effectively, what the majority say is what we're supposed to do. That becomes our truth. And that becomes the Torah that Hashem wants us to do. The reality in Shemayim, who is really right, may be the minority. It's possible. So, in that sense, that's why they both come from Hashem, meaning one is the truth, perhaps, sometimes, that comes from Hashem, and the other one may be not the truth, but the Torah that Hashem wants us to do, because if that's what the majority say, that's what we're supposed to do. Okay, and the Ran also adds on that you follow the majority opinion of your generation, which is very interesting, because we say, you know, there's a famous rule of... you can't be go against an earlier generation. In other words, if there's an earlier takana, let's say the Chachamim in the time of the Mishnah make a takana, make a rule. So a later Beis Din cannot uproot what an earlier Beis Din said unless they're greater than them in Chachma and Minyan. So if an earlier generation makes a rule, you can't uproot that rule. In Beis Din Yachal. Or divri based in chaver olim king gadol meinu b'chachma minyan. That's what that means. It means you can't uproot policies, the institutions of a previous generation unless your generation is greater. Okay, so the Ran says that only applies to their gzeros, but achir rabim hatos is in every generation, and therefore the Ran says that if in your generation, the talmid chachamim in your generation and earlier generations, they pass and why, then your generation can overturn the earlier generations. That means, let's say in the times of the, just for argument's sake, in the times of the Gaonim, let's say, they said that, you know, they want to rule like, I don't know what, one Amor, well, let's say they want to rule, there's a machlokas amongst the Gaonim, and they in their generation decide to go, the majority opinion in their generation is one way. In terms of deciding who to paskin like. The next generation in the Chassam Sofer's generation, they can decide, well, we and the majority of their rabbis in that generation say it makes more sense to side like the other rabbi. So that's the Ran says, even if the generation before you was greater than you, b'chachma u'b'minyan, they're a greater generation. But if in your generation the majority decides that we should go like this rabbi versus that rabbi, they have a right to change that in any generation, which is a very interesting point. Okay. Anyway, so the Ran goes on to say that this idea that Hashem wants us to follow the Chachamim, whether they're right or wrong, is the explanation of the Gemara in Asocher that says that there was a machlokas in Shemayim. If you're not sure if a, you know, if the when it comes to tzaras, you get this white splotch on the skin, and then followed by white hairs that becomes tzaras. If the hairs turn white first and then the splotch on the skin, so then it's tahar. So what if you're not sure which came first, the splotch on the skin or the hairs turning white? So in Shem, so it's, Gemara says Hashem said that it's tahar, and the Masifta in Shemayim, the Yeshiva in Shemayim said tami, and they said okay, who's going to be machriya? And they decided to ask an Amora, Rabbi Bar Nachmani, and he says it's tahar. So the Ran says, what in the world is going on over there? They're arguing with Hashem. So the Ran says yes, because we're not trying to figure out what the Klapishmai Gaya, the truth is. We're trying to figure out what the Jewish, you know, what the halacha is. And the halacha follows what the humans decide. So that's why they had to ask Rabbi Bar Nachmani. And he decided what Klal Yisrael says, you know, what the rabbis of that generation decide. And then that becomes halacha, whether he's right or wrong. And the Yeshiva Shalmaila, which is made up of people that are dead, that are now in Shemayim, he says they weren't mechavin to the correct pshat. Even they were trying to figure out what they thought back when they were humans, and they couldn't think like that anymore. That's one possibility. Or the Ran says the other possibility is because that they were not, didn't try as hard as they should have in their learning in this world, so that's why they did not paskin properly. Either way, that's how he understands that Gemara, because again, we're supposed to follow the Chachamim, whether right or wrong. Okay, then going on this idea of Darabanans, that he says all mitzvahs Darabanan are really Daraisas. In other words, it says Al Pi HaTorah Shel Yerucha, and it says Lo Sosser. There are the Torah tells us to follow the Chachamim, and therefore they're really an Asay and a Los Asay. They're really all Mid HaTorah. Listening to the rabbis, all Darabanans are really Daraisas. And all the leniences we find by Drabbanans, like Safik Drabbanan Kula, that you could be lenient in a case of doubt. So that is all because the Drabbanan who invented their mitzvos, they said you can be lenient when you're in doubt. But really, the old Drabbanans are really Daraisas. So based on that, he has a question, because the Gemara by Ner Chanukah, which is coming up relatively soon, by Chanukah, the Gemara asks that you tells you to make a bracha Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzvanu Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, right? You make a bracha of Asher Kiddushanu when you light the Chanukah menorah. So the Gemara asks there, Tzivanu Heichan Tzivanu, where did the Torah tell us to light Chanukah candles? So one answer is Lo Sasser. The other answer is Shalabicha Ve'agedcha Zekenecha Ve'omrulach, which means ask your wise men, they'll tell you. So the Ran is very bothered by that second opinion. How could there be an opinion that says the way we know to do Drabbanans is Shalavicha Ve'agedcha Zekenecha Ve'omrulach, because the Ran understands that is clearly not a real drasha, that's only an asmachta, that's only a Drabbanan type drasha, and that would mean that all Drabbanans are really Drabbanan, according to that Mandamar. And he's very surprised at that. How can that be? So he says, because there are two types of Drabbanans. There are two types of Drabbanans. One of the type Drabbanan is where it is explaining what the Torah, not explaining, expanding on what the Torah meant. If you're familiar with the terms, there's some, the one who coined this phrase is Rav Chaim, I believe, about there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai mifareshes and a halacha l'moshe m'sinai mechadeshes. I'm not going to get into that, but if you're familiar with those terms, The Ran is one of the people who held of that type of idea. So here you have it by Drabanans, meaning there are two types of Drabanans. One where it's not, we didn't call it Mefaresh, we call it Mosifa. The Torah says, don't do Malacha on Shabbos, right? So the Rabbanan come along and add to what the Torah already said. That's one type of Drabanan. That's a higher level Drabanan. That comes from Lo Sosser. That everyone agrees to, he says. But when it comes to the Rabbanan making up a brand new Drabanan that has nothing to do with what the Torah said, zip, completely out of thin air, like Hanukkah or Purim, so then that would be like what we would call a Drabanan Mechadeshes type idea. Anyway, that would be a brand new Mitzvah Drabanan that the Ran says you cannot learn that from Lo Sasser, because the Pasuk is saying, when you have a suffix in the Torah's laws, follow the Lo Sasser, don't go away from the Chachamim, say follow the Chachamim. But this making up a new mitzvah, Drabanan, is not part of the Torah's laws. It's made up. And therefore, you can't learn it from Lo Sasser, because it has nothing to do with understanding the Torah. So rather, that's why that Amora felt it had to be learned from and those Drabanans may actually be truly Drabanan, according to that Mandamer. Okay. So the Ran goes on to say that this is the explanation of the Gemara when Rabbi Shmuel, this is what we're talking about, the words of the Chachamim are great. So he says this is the explanation of when Rabbi Yeshua asked Rabbi Yishmael, why did Chazal invent an Isser Gvinas Akum? And Rabbi Yishmael didn't answer, and he just says, talked to him about Kitovim Dadecha Miyayin. So why did he want to talk to him about that idea? So the Ran explains, because that Chazal make a drasha, Kitovim Dadecha Miyayin, Chazal Darshan, that the words of the Chachamim are more beloved to us than the Yena Shel Torah, than even Daraisas. So that's why he wanted to tell him, don't mess with the Rabbanans, because the Rabbanans are great. What makes the Rabbanans so great? So the Ran explains that the reason why the Rabbanans are great is because not only is it that the Torah told us to follow the Rabbanans, and like he explained, they have a din daraisa, but it's we're voluntarily taking on a new mitzvah. When the Chachamim invented a new mitzvah for Klal Yisrael, it's Klal Yisrael voluntarily adding a new mitzvah. So that shows our love for Hashem even more, so we give it even more schar for that. So that's why the words of the Chachamim are greater even than Yena Shel Torah. So ask the Ran on himself. Of course you can ask, what do you mean? Because we're voluntarily taking on a new mitzvah that's greater? Don't we say, that someone who had to do a mitzvah is greater than someone who volunteers to do a mitzvah? So isn't that a contradiction to what he just said, that the words of the Rabbanan are greater because we're voluntarily adding a new mitzvah? The Ran says, no, that's no question, for two reasons. One is, what are the two reasons? The two reasons why someone who is mitzvah ve'osa, someone who must do a mitzvah, gets more reward, is considered greater than someone who does a mitzvah when they aren't commanded to do it, right? Let's say a lady sitting in a sukkah, right? That's an example of a woman doing a mitzvah she doesn't have to do. It's the level of mitzvah is greater when you are commanded to do it than when you're not commanded to do it. There's two reasons why that's true. One is, if you have to do something, it's harder to do. Your yitzhara fights you more. You feel like, you know, nobody likes to have to do anything. So you get more star because you have to do it. That's one thing. And number two is, you may get more, it may be greater, because if Hashem commanded you to do it, Hashem probably knew you needed this. Where if Hashem didn't command you to do it, it may not be relevant to you as much. For example, as an extreme example the Ran gives, Shemitah in America. That doesn't make any sense. There is no such thing as Shemitah in America. Shemitah is not relevant to America. So you can't opt in to volunteer to do Shemitah in America. It has no meaning. There's no Kedushas America. So when you decide to take on a mitzvah that the Torah didn't command you to do, even if it's not like that, even if it's not like Shemitah, let's say most mitzvahs, like a woman sitting in a sukkah, it's not like doing Shemitah in America. There is schar for a lady who sits in the sukkah on sukkahs. It's definitely a mitzvah. But it may not be as great, because if it wasn't given to her, there's probably a reason. She didn't need it as much. So therefore, there's a certain, it's greater when someone does a mitzvah that they're commanded to do, because if they're commanded to do it, it's probably more relevant to them. Hashem feels they need it. Whoever the person is who's pater or chayiv, the person who's chayiv needs it more. So that's why, those are the two reasons why someone who's mitzvah va'osa is greater than ain't a mitzvah va'osa. So says the Ran, neither of those apply to a Rabbanan. Because when the Chazal voluntarily take on a new mitzvah, now that they made it a mitzvah, number one, we do have to do it. And number two, it is relevant to us because the Torah told us to follow the Chachamim, and being that they created this mitzvah, it's we now have to do it, and therefore it's now fully relevant to us. Okay, next. So the Ran continues, you also have to follow the Chazal, even when it has nothing to do with halacha. Even when it's just agadata. This is a very important Ran. Even if it's just agadata, you have to follow what Chazal say, and it's apikorsis not to, he says. Not my words, his. It's apikorsis not to. His example is that there's a Gemara that talks, a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chelik, that talks about different things about when Mashiach comes. And one of them is, it says that when Mashiach comes, so there'll be these huge, massive, like diamonds, precious stones that are being brought to Yerushalayim. Someone heard that and says, you can't find precious stones the size of an egg. Certainly you're not going to find these rubies or whatever the thing was, as big as the Gemara said, with these massive stones that they were going to put in the gates of Yerushalayim. Anyway, and then at some point, this guy went on a trip, and he saw the Malachim getting ready with these huge stones, these precious stones. And next time he saw Rav Yochanan, who was saying this drasha, he said, hey, you're right, I saw that once. And Rav Yochanan said, and if you hadn't seen it, you wouldn't have believed it. And he looked at him, and he killed him. He got killed. So he says, that's the idea, because this agadata of whether there are precious stones or not, that has nothing to do with halacha. And still, if Chazal say, make a drush like that, then we need to believe it. And it's apikorsis not to. And he says that someone who argues with the Chachamim is like arguing with the main part of Torah, because the Gemara says, as a machlokas, whether most of Rove of Torah is Shebiksav or Baal Peh, as most of the Torah Shebiksav, or is most of the Torah Shebaal Peh? So the Ran explains what that means is, when we say Torah Shebiksav, we mean the written Torah plus all the things you learn from the Torah with the Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Ben. Or is it Rov Baal Peh, which is the stuff that is not connected at all to the written words, like Halacha Moshe Misinai, or Gzeiros Derabanan that they make up, that kind of thing. So is it mostly Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebaal Peh? And the way we see it to come out is it's mostly Torah Shebaal Peh, and Hashem only made a bris with the Jewish people on Torah Shebaal Peh. And again, the reason why it's greater is because, since it includes mostly what Chazal say, so what Chazal say is greater than the initial Torah, as we said before, because they create mitzvahs, which volunteers us for new things, and that's a greater zchus. Okay, the Ran goes on to say that Rabbeinu Yonah has a different pshat. Rabbeinu Yonah says the reason why the words of Chachamim are greater than Yena Shel Torah, greater than Daraisis, is because what Chazal are telling us comes from Yira, meaning they want you to stay far away from an Avera, so even something that the Torah didn't forbid, Chazal will Aser, like Muktzah, so that you stay far away from Averis. That comes from Yira, and since Yira is the foundation of Torah, so therefore, the words of Chachamim are greater than Yena Shel Torah, because the words of the Chachamim are based on Yira, and that's the whole foundation of the Torah, so that's why it's greater. Okay, that's the quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah. But the Ran wants to know, now that we got onto this topic, if Yira is so great, if Yira is really the foundation of the whole Torah, and everything is based on Yiras Hashem, so if all the Torah is based on Yiras Hashem, why is it that we find sometimes the Chazal talking about Yiras Shemayim like it's not the greatest thing? What do we mean by that? There's a Gemara that talks about the seven bad Prushim, where it says there's seven people who appear to be tzaddikim but are fakers, and they're not really Prushim. So, without getting into all of them, the last two are someone who serves Hashem out of Yira or Ava. So that's considered bad. Then the Gemara says, another explanation, another Amora says, no, the last two, you don't have to leave, those aren't bad, because someone who does mitzvos, mitoch shelo lishma balishma, if they do mitzvos, shelo lishma, like for reasons of fear of Hashem, so then, or love of Hashem, so that's called shelo lishma, and that's not bad, it's just not great, it's not the highest level. So the Ran says, what do you mean? How can it say that Yiras Shamayim is not the highest level? We just said it's the foundation of the whole Torah, so how could you call that Shelo Lishma, or possibly even worse? The answer is, obviously, that there are two types of Yira, like the Ran says. There are two types of Yira. The kind of Yira that the Torah is talking about, and Ava, is the self-centered one, where a person does mitzvahs because they fear Hashem, as in they don't want to get punished. They fear getting sick, losing their job, whatever. They feel bad, and they fear of Hashem getting punishing them, and therefore that's why they keep the mitzvahs. So that's called shelo lishma, or possibly worse. And the avas Hashem is because they want to get make money and be rich and, I don't know, have good things and be healthy. So that's why that's Ava. So those are called Shelo Lishma. The good kind of Yira, which is the foundation of the Torah, is awe of Hashem, where a person thinks about the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he wants to do, or she wants to do, the mitzvos, just because they're in such complete awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We think of the whole cosmos and everything in it, and how minuscule and infinitesimal, and we should have been meaningless, we are, and all the details in this world, in the sea, and in the land, and the bugs, and all the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so a person wants to do, connect to Hashem, wants to do what he says, just out of Yira, so that's the appropriate Yira, that's the foundation of all Torah, and so that's the good Yira. And that's the Yira that leads to humility, that leads to Anava, which is the highest level. Okay, now the Ran goes on to talk about what's the difference between Yiras Chait and Chasidus, right? There's again, there's two versions of this price, so one ends in where the highest level is humility, one ends in that the highest level is Chasidus. So, again, it's a brace that we're all familiar for, that Zahiris leads to Zrizus, and Zrizus leads to whatever. So the last couple levels there are Yiras Chait and Chasidus. So the Ran wants to know what's the difference in Yiras Chait and Chasidus. So he says Yiras, so he gives the example of someone whose house is burning down, and they want to, and it's Shabbos, so they're not allowed to salvage everything. They can only salvage a little bit. And so they say, they announce, I'm after everything, basically, and whoever helps me, they won't lose. So the Gemara says that what happens after Shabbos is some people help this guy out and help him save some of his stuff. So really, he was mafkir everything. Really, they can go home and keep all the stuff. The people who helped save his stuff can really keep all his stuff because he declared it ownerless. But it's not nice. Obviously, he didn't want to declare it ownerless. He was forced to because it was going to burn down anyway and he's not allowed to save it. So these people who helped, so the Gemara says, a Yari Shamayim will return it to the owner, but he's allowed to get paid for his efforts. Whereas a Chassid, the Gemara says, a Chassid would not even take money for it. So the Ran explains, a Yari Shamayim is someone who would never do anything that Hashem wouldn't like, always wants to do only what Hashem wants, but he doesn't do extra, whereas a Chassid will do extra because the person is so in love with Hashem that they want to do extra stuff, even if they didn't do that. There's nothing wrong. In other words, there's nothing wrong with getting paid for your efforts. But a chassid wants to do extra. He really just wants to do what Hashem wants, and so it's out of total love for Hashem. So he does positive things, even though he doesn't actually have to do them. And he says chassidus therefore comes from total love of Hashem, and that's why it's not in the list of the milus when we have Yiras Chait and Ava. It's not in the list Avas Hashem because chassidus means love of Hashem. I mean, chassidus meaning doing more than you have to out of love of Hashem. Okay, coming in on the end here, it says the pasuk in Kriyat Shema says v'haftas Hashem l'kecha, you will love Hashem. And Chazal say eni yodea kitzad ovo, I don't know how you love Hashem. The next pasuk, keep the Torah on your hearts. I think the simple way to understand that is, if you want to know how do you come to love Hashem, study Torah. Keep the Torah on your heart, and then you'll come to love Hashem. The Ran seems to be understanding that, no, I don't know what love of Hashem looks like. In other words, it says, love Hashem. What is love of Hashem? Read the next pasuk. Someone who keeps the mitzvos on their heart. Someone who loves mitzvos, so they're the ones who love Hashem. Meaning, love of mitzvos is love of Hashem. If a person loves doing mitzvos, they know it's because they love Hashem. Okay. So, again, in the thing we've just been explaining, chassidus is the highest level. That's, like we said, is one version of that price. The other version is, anava is the highest level. So Rav Yochanan, who said that a Navi needs to be wise, strong, rich, and humble, he's learning the price that the highest level is humility. And the Ran ends off that the Pasuk says that when Mashiach comes, it will be announced to the Anavim, meaning, in other words, the Tzadikim. And why is the Mashiach and the Geula for Anavim? Because it's going to be mostly good for Tzadikim, not so great for non-Tzadikim. Like the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains, it's like a mushel of a chicken and a bat, or whatever, a rooster and a bat waiting for dawn. And the rooster asks the bat, what are you looking for? It's my job to, you know, when dawn comes, that's when I shine over here. I cock-a-doodle-doo. When the dawn comes, it's bad for you. What are you looking for dawn for? So same thing. Geula is really tovas ha-tzadikim. It'll be good and a great announcement for tzadikim because it's good for them. And he ends off that Chazal tells us in the times of Mashiach, we have a stira. One pasuk says that people will live till 100. One pasuk says, bila hamavas l'netzach, there'll be no death at all in the future. And the answer is, Nachrim will live, they'll live till 100. Yidden will live forever, that'll be Bila HaMavis al-Netzach, and time Mashiach, Mimhir of Yaminu, Amen, should come soon. So this is the end of the Chazara of Drasha number Yud Gimel. Next time, if you recall, when we started this, we skipped Drasha 1, because it was a little more complicated. So next time we will start with the first Drasha, and once that's done, we'll be done.